Welcome back to the Pagan Place. Here, let me chop up that poison for you. No, no, you keep the tip. All we need is a little like and share. That'll do just fine.
Welcome to the Pagan Place podcast. Warning. Steve and Kaylin are on about some bullshit right now. So sit back, sip your poison, and enjoy the ride. Let's start the show.
Example too of some of the things that, like, I run into for subjects where it's very like different, like just based on this conversation, people would think that we had spent like a lot of time researching sex dolls, and it's very like up there on our list of like things to talk about, and you know, we have a lot of information on it. But it's just like one of the many like weird things that you, it's just because it's people are so different, and you're like, oh, what's going on over there, what are they doing, that's interesting, that's offbeat.
Yeah.
And sometimes when doing an episode with something like this, I'm sure there are people who are lonely, and for various reasons, this is like a healthy outlet for them. And I would never want someone to like hear it and feel bad, even though like...
Right, yeah, yeah. It's not intended to, yeah, to fetish shame you or sex, yeah, shame you or anything like that.
But I mean, there's a lot of funny things in,
oh,
this.
Yeah.
Like from like thinking about like these crude rubber people or all of these different things, like there's a lot of humor in there. But that's like one of the things I find in doing my show is I don't want to make someone feel bad about something that's like not hurting anyone else, even, right, though there's parts in there that are funny. And I just try to like walk that fine line, and hopefully someday I get better at that.
No, it is true though. It's a precarious, yeah, precarious line. So definitely it's not to shame anybody, but especially from an outsider's standpoint, it's, yeah, it's humorous. You find some little interesting facts, like the, oh, another name for the Dutch wife was the so I mean, that name alone leads you to believe that maybe there was only one or two of these things on the ship.
It's the first thing I thought of.
How there's no way that's a clean.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Perfect. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, that was it was interesting. If I spent more time, I'm sure I could have got some better juice for it. But
and how crazy were the wormholes or rabbit holes that you got into?
Oh, so, yeah, it was nutty. Like,
yeah,
stuff that just took me way off topic, but it's still kind of in the realm of probably some of the things you'd seen in the sex museums and whatnot. And I think at one point I even pulled up a diagram of like a dissected anatomical penis or, mm-hmm, something came up in the feed, and I was like, oh, well, that's not at all what I was looking for. I definitely sent that picture to a lot of people.
Yeah, sometimes like I'm working on a show and I'm like, am I on a list now?
Yeah,
like all of
they're
these
monitoring your internet usage. And
all these books that are coming to my house now, and all of these things I'm saying.
Yeah,
someone watching me now.
Definitely.
And then sometimes like I can just say, you know, who am I to judge anyone? I have a show where I've spent over 100 episodes talking about He-Man. So
right,
we all have our things.
Yeah,
yeah. I find that sometimes when I do an episode, you think of like that map on the wall with the bulletin board and all the pieces of paper and the string,
yeah,
like connected to all the different thumbtacks, and just like completely losing your mind.
They all go back to Steve.
And also it's a good outlet too, because my wife is really not interested in most of the things I have to say because she's more sensitive and reasonable than I am. Sometimes I'll be like, well, you can get like 80 pounds of meat out of a human body. And she's like, I don't want to know. I don't want to talk about this. What's wrong with you? I was like, oh, I have to text someone this now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm the same way. I come across something, I'm like, oh man, nobody wants to hear this, but yeah, somebody's going to, yeah, end up getting this information.
It's just like, and even, I used to use Twitter, I still use Twitter, but more of like a news feed now.
Yeah.
I'm less active on posting on Twitter now. And I was always against Instagram, but I have absolutely fallen in love with Instagram.
Oh, me too, yeah.
And if you look at my feed, it's like a release for me. I'm like, look at this stupid shit. And I like put it out and I laugh and I'm good. So I find that the podcast and social media is a good way for me to get it out of my system.
That's fair, yeah.
Exercise my demons.
Who knows what'll happen if you hold it all in.
Yeah.
You might become one of the people that you're talking about.
Absolutely.
It's where I wanna be. And before we talk about my topic, did you hear about the guy in Philadelphia who dropped all of these letters off in people's mailboxes?
No.
So this guy, and I encourage everyone to look it up. So this guy, he's on camera. He's just like this old guy who's just like putting like folded up piece of paper in people's mailboxes. And he was talking about how all of the food you've ever eaten since first grade is still alive in your body.
Oh.
And he gives an address. I didn't hear that. He gives an address for a vacant lot. And it's happening sometime in March or April. I think April. But he wants everyone to go to this vacant lot. And they're going to need to build a furnace. Because the only way to survive is to make yourself into a statue. And to melt yourself into some steel. And it's wild.
Everything you've ever eaten is still alive inside you. All that meat.
And that's another good example. I was like, this is hilarious. I was like, this is amazing. And then someone was like, started a GoFundMe for this, and all the proceeds go to mental health. And I was like, oh man, that guy probably does have mental health issues. But that never popped into my head. I was like, that's hilarious. You know, how wild is that? And then someone starts a GoFundMe, which is very nice. And I was like, oh yeah.
That happens often, like all the time. You hear somebody doing some wacky shit and you laugh at it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, really in the background, this guy does actually have issues that he needs to deal with, right, or she needs to deal with. And
right.
Yeah.
I try to have a rule. So like I'll watch a lot of like fights that people post on YouTube or wherever, or Instagram. But then like, I was like, I can only enjoy this if both people are like willing, you know, contestants,
right,
combats,
yeah,
because like, I don't want to enjoy like someone getting like beat down by a bunch of people. But if a couple people are in a, you know, parking lot and they're arguing over a parking space and they punch each other, they're both willing to do so, I'll get enjoyment for that.
Yeah.
And that's not, doesn't mean that I'm a great person. It's just like, that's like kind of like my rule. I try to like, try to objectively look at things. And on social media, I also wouldn't want to put anything on social media that I wouldn't say in real life. So I've had like a couple Twitter accounts and I've always used them as just like normal means of communication. I try not to like, no more of a troll than I would be in real life.
Right.
So that's kind of my thing. But that's like one of the weird things about the internet and going through content like this is trying to keep your humanity.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Especially when you go down the rabbit holes after like a couple hours of just reading these depraved, obscure facts, you kind of get lost in it.
Like I started looking up Red Rooms. Are those?
I think so, yeah.
They seem to be debunked and I'm happy with that. But I remember like I was looking and I was like, why am I looking for this? I don't need to see this or know about this. And then someone was like, you need to
learn to hack the deep web.
Yeah. They're like, these seem to be like thoroughly debunked. And I was like, okay, good. And then I just like stopped. I was like, I don't want to find a real.
Yeah. You don't want to prove it to yourself that they're real. Yeah. There's a lot of that out there. And you know, I have no doubt that they're real or any of those obscure things, but yeah, I don't need to see the real deal myself and be like, okay, I just watched this. Yeah. It's not fake. All right.
But do you find that something that age is probably a part of it, and also like because we've had the internet longer? So remember in the early 2000s, all of those shock websites.
Oh yeah,
where you would like trick your friends into watching them, and you would like see all these horrible like
horrible Consumption things. Junction and
Rotten.com.
Yeah,
we were in high school looking at Rotten.com.
Oh yeah,
that didn't help us.
No,
not at all. Nope.
Yeah, there were some very raw. I don't know. Are those still going? I can't imagine they are.
Shut down, I think, within the last year.
Yeah.
I hadn't been there in a long time. That's something like I put behind me. Like I remember like trying to like find videos to like, you know, ruin people with.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't need to do that. No, we're too old for that.
Yeah. I'm sufficiently warped at this point.
Something that was good about the internet was I was still in high school and there was the Our Hollow Earth was a website.
Right.
In the late 90s. Like I remember I was in high school. I did a project on it. Because like I had a teacher that was, I wasn't a bad student in high school, but he was like, if I let Steven do this, he'll put an effort into it. And then like, I'll just go with it.
Right.
Like, I'll mark him like on his like grammar and like the essay and everything else like that. Eric von Daniken's Chariot of the Gods was in our school library.
Oh, wow.
So like that was there. And then I saw stuff like that online. Wow, those were two big ones. And I remember for Our Hollow Earth, they used to advertise that they were going to have expeditions. And I didn't think that the earth was hollow. But I wanted to like read about people who thought the earth was hollow. And I pretended that I was like an adult and I had money to throw around. And I kept emailing because there was a forum on the website. And I was like, no, I want to go on this cruise. And you get off at like, I don't know if it was the North Pole or South Pole that they were going to go in. But they talked about how there was like fossils and stuff like that outside the opening. And I would always email this website and be like, oh, you know, I'd like to go. How much money do you need? That's not a problem. And they would never, ever message me back. And it used to really bum me out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wonder if they were used to people jiving them like that, or they were like...
I was 17, so I probably wasn't as slick as I thought I was.
Yes, yeah, so that could be it, too.
That would be also part of it.
Or they were just like, it was just so fake that they just didn't want to lead people on. They're like, oh, if we take this guy's money, we're going to have to do something with it.
Yeah, and the Illuminati. That was like a big thing on the internet.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it still is, but I mean in the late 90s.
Yeah.
For media studies, I did the Illuminati's influence on the media. And I didn't necessarily like believe what I was putting, but it was always interesting. And I think that things like Unsolved Mysteries or In Search Of and all of these shows that we had growing up as kids, like I loved Bigfoot.
Oh yeah, me too.
I don't necessarily think that Bigfoot's real, but I love the idea of Bigfoot, and I hate that guy that says like gone squatching or whatever, like finding Bigfoot or what, or hunting.
Yeah,
I can't handle that show. But if there's like a scientist that like goes out like that dude on Netflix and like,
oh yeah, yeah,
like stuff like that, like I can enjoy that.
I've also been binge watching Unsolved Mysteries lately.
I actually bought that record.
Yeah, I saw that.
And you were on my New Brunswick Unsolved Mysteries episode,
right?
Which was a fun one to do.
I'll include a link to that one too.
Yeah, that was a fun episode. And speaking of New Brunswick Unsolved Mysteries, the museum has an oven door from Leinster Street. Have you heard about this?
No.
So look it up online. It's really interesting. So apparently there was a house on Leinster Street that has since burned down. But in the basement, there was a crematorium or something in the basement. And someone was cremated, and there was like the face of someone on the door of the crematorium. And the oven door is at the New Brunswick Museum.
Wow.
So I don't know if it's like on display or not. Like, I've been to the museum. And I was like, is it just something like weird where someone's like, oh, it's at the museum? But I'm actually going to contact the museum and see if I can get like a picture of it or find out a little bit more. See if they can confirm it.
Yeah.
I only found it like after it was too late for that episode, but that's something I'd like to do, because I'd like to do another one of those.
You could
episodes.
Start out your other episode like how Unsolved Mysteries does, like the updates.
Yeah. Yeah. And like that was fun too, because I went back through the old Unsolved Mysteries episodes and I was like clipping audio like for segments and stuff like that. So that part was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Movie. And that was a great, great show.
Oh, that was an amazing show. It still holds up, too. Like
Robert Stack was perfect. His voice and just standing there in the mist in his trench
coat.
Yeah.
Sold it every time. He's like an old gumshoe.
Yeah.
I won't give the name of the brand away because they're not giving me money. But Steve brought over delicious coconut vanilla milk stout. And this is amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm actually surprised because last time I had a vanilla stout, it was not good. It had a hint of vanilla, but it was like almost like an imperial stout. So it was like vanilla with facts or something. And it was just... Oh, it was a porter. That's what it was. It was vanilla.
Was it purple can?
It was from a tap.
Okay.
I mean, by the end of it, you had enough of it in you that it started to taste okay.
Yeah.
But it took almost half a pint to be able to be like, so I never got it again. And so I'm actually really impressed by this.
I'm obsessed with porters and stouts. That's almost what I drink like exclusively.
Yeah.
But that is one... One of the things that happens, like, people don't buy a lot of porters and stouts compared to like IPAs and other beer. But I love them, and I can sit there and drink them all night and like be fine. But that's probably going to disappear like in a month, and I might not see it again.
Yeah, I might have to get a few of these. They're really good.
Yeah, anything that has like a malty, chocolate, coffee, roasted like flavor, like I'm really into. And it's funny because like I drink one or two beers every day. They're always like vanilla porter they're just like a regular porter or a stout. And I don't know anything about beer. So like I enjoy the shit out of them.
Yeah.
But I don't know what anything on the can means. Like I know how much like alcohol is in it.
Yeah.
Like as soon as they start talking about, oh, these are Cascade hops, I'm like, that doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
Like,
no,
I have no idea.
All I know is some give you that really nasty snap with the heavy IPAs that I don't like. I don't know anything about it other than that. But I do know that I'm not a big fan of IPAs anymore.
I used to really like IPAs, but they became like a nuclear arms race to be like more and more bitter.
Yeah, yeah, it's lost its what it used to be.
Yeah, so
they've lost sight. IPA, you have lost sight of your mission.
They have, and they should be ashamed.
They should be ashamed.
And I'll always like, there's a few beer accounts I follow online, and I'll always tag like NB Liquor. I'm like, oh, can we get this? And they're like, yeah, we'll send it off to the team, and we never hear anything back from them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise me.
They'll answer me on, and I'm very respectful, but I'll answer, like, I'll message them on Instagram, and they're always like, oh, we'll look into it. The only definitive answer they ever gave me, I love the Garrison Brown Ale.
Oh,
the
Nat
Brown Ale.
Yeah.
They don't have it in New Brunswick anymore.
No. Can you get it in the multi-packs that they have?
No.
Wow. Because I know that's the only way you can get the raspberry wheat, which I love, especially in the summertime when you're barbecuing. You could drink scads of it, and it sits really well.
And I messaged them, and I was like, hey, can we get this back? Because I was in Nova Scotia at the time, and I was like, oh, I have to go to Nova Scotia to get this. Like, can we get more of this?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, there's no room for it, but try one of the other ones. I was like, well, this is the one I want.
Great answer. NB Liquor.
I was probably the only one that ever messaged them on Instagram. I'm like, hey, get this done.
So I'll post up the links for C's podcast and C's social media. You'll be able to find them. You can get the podcast virtually anywhere you can get podcasts.
Podcast of the Universe. You can find me on Instagram, and there's a link there. My Instagram is This is Po2, like This is Podcast of the Universe. If you don't want to listen to my podcast, you might be able to enjoy my Instagram. I put nonsense on there pretty much all day.
I think if they liked your Instagram, they would like your podcast. Yeah. They kind of go hand in hand a little bit.
Yeah, and if anyone ever has any ideas or suggestions, let me know. That's one of the weird things, too, is with my Masters of the Universe, I don't really know my audience. One of the things about that part of Twitter and social media was it was very like open, and it was very positive, which was weird. So when I started using social media, it was mainly for MMA coverage. I'm a huge MMA fan. But MMA fans are some of the worst people in the world. Not all of them. I have like maybe a couple friends who watch. But originally I was like, that was kind of like my view of like social media. So I didn't interact that much on it. Like maybe I'd shitpost a little bit, but I wasn't too active. But when I started this Masters of the Universe show, they were just like very supportive and friendly. And everyone was like nice to each other. It was weird. I was like, what's going on? I thought this was the internet. But I don't have...
Nobody's hating on anybody?
But I have... I don't really have a lot of interaction like with the people that listen. Like I have no idea who listens. Just that there's like, oh, 93 people listened to that episode.
Yeah.
And then I never heard anything back. But then like they listen next week. Now with this show, I started a Twitter account, but this Twitter account I found was harder because there was no niche for it.
Right. Yeah. It's this whole new thing.
Yeah, and it's so wide open.
Right.
So I was like, I'm just going to spend most of my time on Instagram, and I'll use it like my personal account too, because I don't want to, like, I already have like 3 Twitter accounts. I don't want, you know, 2 Instagram accounts. And I'm really falling in love with Instagram.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
So I'm just using that like a personal one and for the show. Like, I've had issues with Tim Hortons. I went like 0. I think it ended up being like 0 and 20 or 0 and 21. But I was so mad. And I was like, I was looking, I would go to my profile and I was like, I would see all these roll up the rim cups. And I was like, I just look like a crazy person now. Just like maybe more than 50% of my feed just turned into like my war with Tim Hortons. And I was like, they're not going to engage with me. Like, they have no, there's no benefit to them.
Yeah, no.
Me. They're not going to answer me.
Unless they just start sending you some free donuts or coffee.
I didn't even want that.
I would.
I just wanted better odds. But since then, I think I'm like, I've won 2 coffees and a donut. So I'm like 3 for like 28 now.
What is it? What's the ratio?
It's supposed to be 1-6.
Yeah, 1-6.
So I kind of like backed off, and like I was like sending them like Vanilla Ice videos, and like, because I was mad at them. I have to stop. I'm not going to spend my energy on this.
I love that you're sending that. It's funny that they got pulled down. So I don't, it must have been the copyright issue. I can't imagine it was Tim Hortons, but yeah. Maybe it was. I have no idea.
Yeah, there's a larger conspiracy. They were silencing
it's the Illuminati, man.
Yeah.
That should be your next episode. Tim Hortons tie-in with the Illuminati.
Yeah. Then they'll come for me.
Yeah. You'll disappear. They'll put you in a coffee. You'll be in their next batch of beans that's been sent out.
I did get a coffee plant. So like in 10 years, I'll have enough for a pot of coffee.
Yeah.
So I won't need Tim Hortons for like 2 days or something. Maybe. I said in 10 years, it'll start growing coffee beans. So we'll see.
How big do they get? Do you know?
I have no idea. I'm the worst with plants. I've killed cactuses and ivies. So right now I have this thing called, and I posted on Instagram because everything I do in my life, I put on Instagram now. I'm like those people I used to laugh at. And make.
It's funny how those things change.
It is. I was like, oh, here's some food I'm cooking. They're called living stones, and it's a type of succulent.
Yes.
And it looks like a brain. And I have my second one is starting to open now. And they're really wild. So eventually, like when they get to be like 4 or 5 years, a flower will come out. And it'll open in the daytime and close at night. So I have twins on the way. So I need to like learn how to look after plants.
That's a good starting point. Yeah. Keep the plants alive.
And yeah.
Hope for the best with the twins.
Yeah, absolutely. Cedar Crest is just around the corner from us. So they've been very helpful.
Yeah.
With guiding me on plants to choose. And they're like, oh, here's a plant that, you know, thrives on neglect. I'll take that. And they'll pot them for you for free.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you buy the pot, but I mean, they'll like take care of it.
Yeah.
Which only, you know, extends the life of that plant before I have to do it. So,
yeah. Until your neglect kicks in.
Yeah. So, yeah, back to the coffee thing. That was my issue with Tim Hortons. Hopefully it gets better, but I'm probably not going to have a great ratio by the end of this.
No, it's already pretty skewed. You'd have to.
Yeah. And it's not even good coffee. I mean, I have to drink it every day because, like, it's who I am. Like, I need that. That first coffee to be Tim Hortons, but I couldn't like defend it and be like, oh, this is excellent coffee.
Yeah, no, it's not.
No.
It was better than office coffee.
Yeah.
Miles ahead of office coffee.
Yeah.
But it was almost the worst that you could buy.
And they're like, they just got like a horrible grading on their use of plastic.
Oh, really?
Like their one-time plastic use.
Yeah.
Like they had like an awful score. Huh. Like they're just like polluting everything and giving us bad coffee that I'm still going to buy tomorrow like a hypocrite.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So why don't you brew at home? That's my question if you don't like Tim Hortons that much.
I have a French press and I love it.
Yeah.
I just hate waiting.
It would take you less time to boil the water, wait the 5 minutes for the coffee than it is to go to the Tim Hortons.
And then you got
to
clean it out. And then you got to get in the nooks and crannies and like scrape all like the beans and stuff out, like the grinds. But yeah, it's 100% better coffee. It's way better. Yeah,
it is.
But I have a K-cup and I recycle like as much plastic as I can. Like my wife is like really on me. I'm not like a big environmentalist. Like I try to be like somewhat conscious.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I'll rinse this out and recycle it. Like I'll go to the bins. But my wife's like the one that's like hardcore, like save the environment. I try to like do the best I can. But I mean like Keurigs are still bad to use. I use those.
Yeah.
But yeah, I should be on the French press all the time. I mean, it's better coffee even.
It is. I get Piccadilly coffee,
mm-hmm.
Which is delicious. I'll send a little bit home with you to give it a try, and they're awesome. I think, I'm pretty sure that they're probably the favorite coffee, really, to date that I make myself. That it's just super flavorful, and they got nice. Tons of selection. I'll post a link up to them as well, since they were kind enough to send me a bit of coffee in a mug.
Someone should be sending Kalen beer.
They should be. Actually, I have an event coming up, and I'm going to... It's not just me. It's me and a team of people are going to make videos for all the musicians I've had on that I haven't made a video for, but they're mm-hmm. all going to be, like, with an actual filmography team.
Nice.
And that I'm trying to get sponsored. So if you make beer, or you're working for a beer company, or you're a beer rep, or a whiskey or scotch rep, I'm not picky, and you want to sponsor it, let me know. Shoot me an email, leave me a message, pegandplacemusic@gmail.com, and I will gladly put your logo up on every video that's shot during that day if you supply the beer for our guests.
And they would be supporting local.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, keep it local.
What I used to do on my old show, I would try to like mimic other shows and be like, oh, what does this show do? What does that one do? And I was like, every show has ads. And I was like, I'm not going to read a Casper Mattress ad. So like whatever beer I was drinking, I would just like shout them out. Or I would go to like look up 1980s Minolta camera ads.
Yeah.
I would watch a YouTube video and like transcribe like what was said in the commercial. And I would read that like as the taglines in the commercials.
That's awesome.
It's a fun part about like podcasting is like shouting out products you enjoy.
Yeah, and I'd love to keep it as products I enjoy, obviously.
But. Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to go back and do ad copy for a 1980s product you can't buy anymore.
When when I started out on radio, we had a show called H to the C on campus radio. And it was late enough at night that we could push the limits of what we could get away with kind of thing. So we made all our own ads, like we had pre-ads and all. I'll see if I can pull some up here. I recently found some. I don't know if they're on a disc or if I put them on my hard drive, but just hilarious. Some were mildly offensive. I can't even remember half of them, but we got a little creative with them. They're fun.
How long ago did you have a radio show?
That would have been like 2003, probably to 2000 and... No, maybe... I came on board around 2004, probably, and did it for about 5 years, I think.
I know a guy who lost a show.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, a hip-hop show. And he played a necro in Illbill Freestyle.
Oh, yeah. I can see why that would get him and in some trouble.
So they said, we have to have a meeting about your show. And he knew it was over and he didn't even show up for the meeting.
That's fair.
Yeah.
We did get kicked off two times. First time we were suspended. Second time we got kicked off and they said that we weren't going to be able to come back. We talked them. We somehow, I don't even remember what the issue was, something that one of the clubs at the school, somebody heard and they were offended by it, and then there was a big hubbub, but they did end up letting us back. We justified it in front of the board, but then they just put us on another suspension, and then we could come back, and then eventually we were just done and moved to the podcast. We did the podcast version of it for a while, and then we all just sort of went our own ways, and we all do something now, but...
Yeah, I heard you a couple weeks ago. You did the show. I don't know.
Oh, at Music We Like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I find that, like, I'm always, like, listening to podcasts or doing something, but every once in a while I'm in the kitchen. There's a radio in the kitchen, and I'll put it on, like, the campus radio.
Yeah.
Because if there's ever music on the radio that I want to hear, it's usually, like, that station.
Yeah. It's always that or CBC for me, and that's pretty much the only two stations I'll listen to.
Radio music's pretty awful. Yeah,
it's horrible.
Yeah. I remember when we were kids, so in junior high, we were very... scheming kids, so we went to C98. So I was in grade 8, and we told the teacher for career day, we said, well, we want to be radio disc jockeys, and they went, okay. So Steve Mackin was working on the radio at that time, and so we called the radio station, said, oh, we want to do this for school or whatever. So because we did it at night and we were there like late, like in quotations, we had the next day of school off. Because the other kids that did career day, they were gone in the daytime.
Ah.
So we got to go to the radio station at night, and we had the next day off.
That's awesome.
We thought we were brilliant. So we went there, and it was just like a dark room, and it was like me, Rob, and Steve Mackin, and he just like slowly drank a beer and talked to us, and we didn't really want to be radio DJs, but like in junior high, you would listen to the radio every night and try to like record music on a cassette tape and make a mixtape, because it's the only way you could get like...
Oh, it was an art.
Yeah. So I remember he gave us like a bunch of like... giveaway stuff. Like we had like little Ozzy Osbourne pins. I think it was around the time Osmosis came out.
Oh, sweet.
And Slick Toxic t-shirts. I don't know if you're familiar with Slick Toxic.
No, I don't think so.
I think the band died, or one of the guys died in a limo accident.
Oh, okay.
They weren't a good band. Anyway, we had these Slick Toxic t-shirts and we wore them. Everyone's like, who's that? And we're like, Slick Toxic. And it was like kind of a joke. But yeah, so I remember like thinking like the radio would be like so fun and cool to go do, and it was just a man sitting like in a dim office, just like hitting a button and just sitting there, and then just like idiot kids like us calling like every 5 minutes.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah. That kind of radio I can't see being fun.
No,
if you had a partner, maybe you can bounce stuff off of. Like that was sort of our shtick, even with campus radios. Have somebody with you can joke around with, and it was good time.
We haven't mentioned him, but I have someone. His name's Hat, and he's awful. He's a nice guy, but I mean, as far as like zero conversation at all. But he won't use his real name. He just uses his nickname. But he's awful. I mean, I appreciate his help. He comes in. We've had some problems that were his fault, but he's doing better. my goal is for someday him to say something. I don't need like a continuous back and forth, but you know, just so people don't think I'm like a lunatic in my basement. He's a weird guy though. I told him to get some ads or even just like plug some stuff. He couldn't do that. He was awful.
Eventually you'll be able to let him go.
Well, he's worried about that. He says he doesn't care, but there was one episode I did without him and I knew he was listening. See how it went.
Test run.
Yeah.
It's Alyssa from Piccadilly Coffee Roasters, and you've been listening to the Peg and Place podcast.